listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
My God, is any hour so sweet, from blush of morn to evening star, as that which calls me to thy feet, the hour of prayer? No words can tell what sweet relief, therefore my every want I find, what strength for warfare, balm for grief, what peace of mind. I'd like to read once more from Paul's letter to Timothy, the second chapter of the first epistle, reading the first six verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I also like to read a few verses from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink of that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. Let's come before this God who has done all things to his own glory. Not all things do please him, what we do. Certainly not what Satan does, but what he does is right, and we may be sure pleasing in his sight, whether it be sending an awakening, salvation, whether it be long-suffering. In all those ways, God is good, and only good. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for every blessing needed. We also come giving thanks in his name that we can ask for blessings that we do need. We give thanks for blessings given and pray for those needed. We pray, Father, for the blessings needed today in the church to be revived, that it might be a salt, that it might again preach the gospel in fullness, like Paul could say, I have not shunned to declare thy whole counsel, that this might be done for individuals, that they might hear and fear and turn unto thee and be added to the church. Even as we read, thou wast have all men to be saved, and the message must go to all, to every creature, to all kinds. And as we also read in Paul's letter to Timothy, that whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink of into one Spirit. We pray, Father, that the church might be the messenger, thy messenger, to all men in all places, high and low, and especially a salt and a light, that the church might be that in each and every nation. And again, we pray that it might be revived, that it will be able to do so, and not a salt that hath lost its savor, as we fear has taken place in our nation, and may be taking place as well in other nations. We know it has taken place in the past, and thou hast spoken of it, Lord Jesus, and said, such is good for nothing but to be trodden under foot of men. We pray that we might be not be in the Laodicean state, thinking we are rich and in need of nothing, and being poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. We know that the heart is deceitful above all things and can think those wrong things so quickly. And we pray that thou wilt both keep us from it, and if we are guilty of it, that thou wilt make us to be zealous and repent, as thy message was to that church at Laodicea. We pray, Father, also for nations, and we pray for leaders of nations. We pray for each nation throughout the world. Thou knowest each one, thou knowest each leader, and numbers of leaders in each nation. We pray that thy fear might be put in their hearts. We pray that thou would awaken them. They might also be made to cry out, what must we do to be saved? That each one in every place might have that cry, and that the answer might come with clarity and with power to believe on thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved. They and their house, they and their helpers, hopefully, in government, and all of us as a people, that there might be reviving, there might be awakening, there might be salvation experienced as there has been in the past. In some measure, in some nations, sometimes in many nations, sometimes in a greater measure, sometimes in lesser. But we pray and plead that there might be that which thou hast spoken of, that all the nations shall hear and fear and turn unto thee, that that may come at this time. It may come to Jew and to Gentile. And again, we pray for both the church and the world, that the church will be revived, that the world will be awakened and saved. We pray also for the temporal needs that we have. We ask, Father, for thy leading and blessing in regard to every need in the home, many homes broken. We pray, Father, that the homes that are broken and troubled may be healed. We pray that the rest of us may not be cold with them, careless, unconcerned, but that especially the church might be awakened and revived to the truth, to preach the truth, to call broken homes and hard-hearted husbands and wives to repentance, that this might be changed rather than to go on and to leave each other in terrible straits and leave children in awful places. We pray, Father, this terrible onslaught of Satan might be recognized in the church and dealt with rightly. And we pray for thy Spirit to work both in the church and in our homes and in the individuals wherever they can be of a help, wherever they can be, stand in the gap. We pray, Father, for those in sickness, those in injury. Pray that thou give healing to many if it could be thy will. And where it is not given, we pray that there might be grace given to submit to thee in these things and to learn of thee, and especially those that will, because of their sickness or injury, soon meet thee in death, that thou wilt prepare them for that hour. We pray for those in lonesomeness and older age. We pray for those in hunger, the homeless, the war-torn lands, and all of this. We pray that thou wilt look on us through Christ, and in spite of the terrible situations that many might say with Jeremiah, thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And Father, we give thanks again all through Christ. Amen. As we look once more at these words here of Paul, and also the words of Paul to the Corinthians, I'd also like to look at a few words in the next chapter, the 13th chapter in Corinthians, where we read of charity or love, that it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. When we think of rulers, we think of good rulers, and we think of wicked rulers. There have been those all through history, some terrible to their people. We think of even Pilate, who mingled the blood of some of those people under his jurisdiction with the sacrifices. And then the Lord Jesus said, do you think that they were worse sinners than others? I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We see how we can look at all sides of these things that take place, and take place sometimes because of leaders. There, Christ didn't go speaking of the leader. He just said, except you repent, you will likewise perish, probably in another way. And so we should all have the fear of God above all other things. And we certainly need that at this time when there is much division, much separation, much division in government. Many governments in recent months and years have been overthrown. Many are in turmoil, wondering what kind of government they will when things are finally settled. Some allowed to vote on. Some will just take over in power. As has often happened, one group overthrows another. And sometimes because the government in power is evil, but sometimes it is another evil power that overthrows then is worse for the people. And that may take place again, and not even always when there is the privilege of voting, that there can be a right majority. As I said last week, some have said that minorities have done more than majorities in different countries. A very faithful minority, sometimes a minority in wickedness, overthrows the rest of the country. This has happened when we think of communism in Russia. It was not the majority. It was a minority that gained power. And we can think of that in China, too. And many times a small minority gets power. Sadly, oftentimes the news media joins with the wicked minority and tells lies. We're having much of that, I fear, today. We often speak of news media, but it sometimes gets to be propaganda media. It gets to be lying media. And before I go further in it, I want to say that the church can be guilty of that as well as the media. Yes, we in the church even now, hopelessly divided. And it'd be wonderful if you could say at least one side is right. One side is all right, when the other side may be wrong. And I want to emphasize these things because if we are to do as Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth. If there isn't a knowledge of the truth, there won't be hope for all men. And kings here leading the list for kings and for all in authority. And then who will have all men to be saved, not meaning not every single individual. God not only knows who's going to be saved, but he chooses who's going to be saved. We would never choose him. We would choose the God of our own imagination. We would choose the God of our own liking. We would choose the God that would agree with us. And that's why we can't be saved. If a drowning person would only want one that was careless, one that was disobedient, like they may have been when they're drowning, many people go in a lake, a place to swim, when they shouldn't. They're disobedient. Somebody has to go after them. What if the person that would go after them was like-minded, careless? But we have to overcome. And we have to, first of all, be overcomers. We cannot be like the wicked. What a terrible thing if the church caters to the wicked. If the church tries to please the wicked. Sometimes they do. There's much pleasing in music, for example. Well, that'll draw the young people. That'll draw more people. If it's not God glorifying, it's not good for people. Not good. You say, well, I like it. I don't know if it's the glory of God or not. If it's not to the glory of God, it is not good. God doesn't do things for his glory to those who want to believe that are evil or harmful. It's true that he passes terrible judgment on the wicked, but the wicked have no complaint. They don't want to obey God. They don't want to agree with God. They don't want to believe in God. Why should they complain what he does, what he will do in his justice, which he gives often ample warning of. Even as we can read in Romans 1, they are without excuse. Nature testifies of the Godhead. Anybody looking at nature, the wonders of nature, the power of nature, should ask, who does this and how can I learn more of him? Rather than, as Paul said, when they knew God, they worshipped him not as God, but became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. And I say that with emphasis, because it's in the church. Yes, in the church. The church will not teach from the Bible how old this world is. When we have the genealogy from Adam to Christ, how are we going to pray for rulers? How are we going to bring rulers to the truth? Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Evolution is not just a theory, it's an iniquity. It's without excuse. There's no scientist that can prove he's right when he declares these wicked lies. There's no proof. How quickly would it be in the courts? How quickly would it be in the papers that it's no longer a theory? It's a fact. There's lots of people. There's lots of professors. There's lots of scientists. Oh, it's a fact. It's a fact. No, it's not a fact. Not even if you're a scientist, if you're an evolutionist, If you believe these things, if you propagate these things, it's not a fact among you. Do you know whether it was a big bang? Or whether it came over, as you want to say, millions, billions of years? You don't know. You don't know among yourselves. We who believe the Bible, and I say it carefully, say it trembling, we who believe the Bible know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke and there was light. He spoke and gave what there was on the first day, and it was the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, and the sixth day he made man. And the seventh day he rested. God tells us we ought to do the same. As he spoke from Mount Sinai, he said, God made the world in 6 days, and the seventh day is a day of rest. Today has become a day of pleasure. It's become a day of doing what we want to do in the flesh. Government leaders also used to respect the Lord's Day. Now they're meeting on the Lord's Day. Do they expect blessing? Oh, how we need to pray. Pray for God to intervene rather than to leave us to our own mind, to our own wickedness, to our own ways. Yes, our own ways. What are they? Our own ways are the harder issues of life, and the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We need to do it from the Bible. And if the church is to pray and be heard of God, we need the whole church. Yes, God might enter into individuals like he did Elijah. And then told Elijah later there were more that had not bowed the knee to Baal. But that's the exception. The rule is, where two of you are agreed touching anything, it will be done. The wonderful blessing manifested itself after Christ's ascension. Right after that, they were described as being in one accord, in one place, in prayer and supplication. The 120. The apostles. One had been chosen to replace Judas, the traitor. Other women with him. The 120 gathered together in one place, praying. Praying for the outpouring of the Spirit. And it came. It came in such a way that in the days following, the months following, the years following, those who had that blessing of the Spirit, those who were endued with power from on high, like Christ said, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Oh, how we need it today in the church. Can a powerless church pray for right power in government? Power of truth? Power of righteousness? If we don't teach the truth ourselves, can we pray for it in the schools, the universities that are teaching wrong things, making people believe what they want to do in their particular politics and different ways of government? I can mention many things describing name and ways. But we won't go into it. It's just wrong ways are there. That's why evolution has just spread. It's been in our higher places of learning, and now it's down in our high schools. I had a grandson who wrote a paper, and he said, I didn't want to make the teacher mad. So he wrote according to what the teacher believed, not what he had himself heard and believed in his home, in his church. Yes, that's what's taking place. Grade school, I've heard teachers say, well, we let the children decide themselves. We don't take a stand. Is that what a school is for? Can a child decide what, if one and one is two or three or four? Can a child decide how to spell words? Can a child decide geography and where a place is? where seas and oceans are? No, there's facts. There are facts. Facts that are truth. That's why Paul says, rejoice not in iniquity. That isn't love. It may be compromise. It may be what people want to hear. It may make seemingly friends. But for how long? If you've gained friends by lies, you won't be friends in hell. You'll hate each other. There's no love there. Even though there might be, as one man seemed to have some concern, realizing that his brothers needed to hear a different thing than what he had believed, and lifted up his eyes being in torment, in hell. Christ spoke of it, gave the picture. Rejoiceth in iniquity, loves iniquity, lives in iniquity. Love or charity rejoiceth in the truth. Yes, love beareth all things. Love is patient. Love is kind. But do we love a person if they're in a house on fire and say, well, I'll just be patient. I'll wait a little while. I won't rush you. No, we won't. That's not the truth. That's iniquity. And we shouldn't do it with those that have a soul. They're like a house on fire. They need to come out. Need to come to God in repentance. Need to come to Christ in faith. Need to be part of the body of Christ, the church. And then pray. 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 Pray to the Lord of heaven. Pray through Christ that we might have revival amongst us as a people, in the church, in the home, and then in government as well. Join us. Pray again through Christ. If we pray together, as that early church did, in one accord, supplication, prayer, then we also soon be able to preach together like they did and see thousands converted. Oh, how we need that in our nation, how we need it through the world, how we need it for both Jew and Gentile, for God's glory, for our blessing, for our children, for the next generation. Pray, then hopeful, we can preach.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise